Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ declares in Holy Scripture that the devil is a liar, a thief, and a murderer. Our present days have no shortage of these things. Through these things, the devil attacks truth, property, contentment, and life, and the pursuits of life. Whether you are talking about a virus, governmental actions, national disputes, or localized mobs, we are seeing all of these things come out into the open. Truth. We are being so catechized by the devil today to not think that there really is such a thing as truth. There's so much conflicting information that at the most there are varieties of truth, and each probably just has something erroneous in it as well. Property and contentment. Now, today we have greed and coveting, the destruction of property. They're commonplace. Life and the pursuits of life have been confronted with lockdowns, decrees, hatred, murders, and all sorts of limitations. But in another strange, confusing spin on getting murderous things among us, the devil would have each one of us think of ourselves as a murderer of others, and that each and every other person we meet is a potential murderer of us. This is the devil at work, trying to lead you away from truth, from contentment, and from the lives that God has given to you to live for your neighbor. Since our Lord ascended on high, we have been at the end times. And so the book of Revelation lays out what is commonly called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These represent many things that have been ongoing since the ascension. The scriptures say that these horsemen are given authority, that is, from God, to do these things. For they bring violence, plague, warfare, and all the resultant famines and economic disasters, and then finally death. The present days certainly can remind us of these things, as the Lord is not slack to fulfill his word, even his warnings about the end of all things and his return. The temptation here before you is to become fearful. It is to become enslaved to your selfish fears and to forget that you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. It is to forget that there is indeed a God, and that God has shown his love for you. That's the devil's old trick, and he plays it on each soul. Look around you, he says. Look at your circumstances. Look at the world around you. You are lost, and there's nothing God can do to change it. Take what you can, therefore. Get ahead while you can. Your neighbor should mean nothing to you. On top of this, he stirs up all kinds of fears over death, as if death is the worst thing that can befall you. Notice how temporal and temporary the devil keeps your focus in all of this. But dear Christians, instead of submitting to this evil bondage to what is happening right now in the world, our Lord gives us Pentecost. In the Old Testament, there was a day called the Day of Jubilee. It only happened every 50 years. On this day, on this year, debts were forgiven, land was returned to the families that originally possessed it, inheritance was returned to those who maybe had lost it. Slaves were set free, or at least set on a path to their freedom. Jubilee was a great liberation from the cares and the concerns of this world. It was God setting things right for his people. And so it is no wonder that our church fathers have often associated this Jubilee year with Pentecost. For today, the church celebrates the freedom that comes by the Holy Spirit of our God. Today, the promise of Jesus to send the Comforter is proven true in that lesson from Acts chapter 2. Today, the confusion that was earned by the pride of man in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, well, it's returned. It's undone. It's undone by the preaching of the gospel to the nations that have been gathered at Jerusalem. What sinful pride had done, the preaching of Christ and the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins has undone. And that pattern continues today. Christ our Lord promised to send the Holy Spirit, to send the Comforter, the Helper, of whom we've been hearing about these last few weeks. That this comfort, this holy consolation, this help is further explained in our gospel lesson today. That Jesus starts out by describing how loving him, how we should love him, and how this will result in the whole triune God making their home with the person. That this is a description of the Holy Spirit's work. For the scriptures declare that no one can love God without the Spirit first making that possible. No one can believe in God unless the Holy Spirit gives that gift of faith first. And so the Spirit is promised because all of the life of those who love God begins with the Spirit's work. And that work comes by the Word of God, breathed out by the Spirit of our God, as we heard in that lesson from Acts. The Spirit is the one who converted that crowd through the preaching of the Word of God, and each heard in their own language the mighty works of God in Christ. And from that gift of faith in Christ, there was added love of God, the one who keeps the words of Jesus, the one who believes in those words, who trusts in those words, who holds on to those words and treasures them, that one is truly blessed. At the close of most sermons, you hear this proclamation about the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is also the work of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God is not like the world's peace. The peace of God comes from Christ. It is eternal. It never ends. It is also internal. It is meant to outlast all of these external things, all of the changing situations in the world going on all around us, as the world ekes out its each little day until the day of days when our Lord returns. Jesus told the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be terrified, troubled, or afraid." The giving of the Spirit accomplishes this, as we see the example of those same men who were indeed afraid. If you remember on Easter evening, locking the door for fear of the Jews in the upper room where Jesus appeared to them, we see those same men rise on Pentecost, rise in the face of not only the threat of death, for it was only 50 days since Christ had been killed, but also to rise in front of the mockery of the world. These men are drunk. To rise in front of the uncertainty of it all as well. What was death to the ones who already possessed eternal life? What is mockery if it comes from those who are blind to the truth and only know lies? What is uncertainty in this life when compared to the rock-solid, trustworthy word and promises of Jesus? The Spirit had been given. Jesus had kept his word. And so there was love of God. There was peace within, even as the world around them kept falling apart. It is no different for you today, Christians. The devil with his lies, his theft, his murdering. Jesus says today in the text that the devil has no claim on him. Indeed, Christ Jesus was not defeated by the crucifixion. No, by the crucifixion, the devil was defeated. The world is so full of its own troubles, and all of those troubles want to tempt you to worry along with the world. But these troubles themselves have been promised by God, that God has declared that the wicked shall be like a troubled sea, Isaiah says, always in turmoil, without rest, stirring up more muck and dirt and without any peace. The end of the world, with all of its warning cries for people to stop trusting in such weak and always changing idols. Well, Jesus calls the end of the world the day of your redemption. The same God who decrees a constant turmoil for the wicked has decreed peace for you. And this peace of God comes from Jesus. This peace of God is Jesus. It includes not just some emotional peace, but it can. It includes a constant and steadfast peace that we have with God. First and foremost, the peace established by the blood of Jesus. The peace made by the forgiveness of sins. It includes how the devil is defeated and how the world which brings you trial and tribulation has been overcome by Christ. It includes how death is not going to be some kind of strange and fearful endpoint, but instead how death is a tool, a gateway used by our loving and living God to bring believers into the same eternal life. This is the peace of God, which Jesus promised the Spirit would bring. It is the peace you have by believing the gospel. Now, in the face of all those fears which the devil and the world would be trying to get you to believe and then sin with, well, Scripture says something about that kind of fear as well. It says that perfect love casts out fear. Does anyone here have in themselves perfect love? Of course not. The sinful nature makes our own love feeble and weak, unreliable, not even close to perfect. But take heart. Just as you can't conjure up faith in Jesus, so also this divine love, this perfect love that I am speaking of, comes to you because of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives this love to you. The perfect love of Christ, that you too would love the Father as Christ has. For his love of the Father moved him to die, moved him to the cross to die for your sake. That you would not have sin, that death would be defeated, and that the devil would have no claim even on you. That the troubles of this life would be put into their proper, eternal perspective based upon the promises of the Word. Perfect love. The kind that casts out sinful fear. That this is what we learn from the Word. The Word inspired by the Spirit who reminded the men of God who wrote it down for the sake of those who would believe. That's you. And that from that faith in Jesus, those who believe would have peace which the world cannot give, and perfect love which casts out all fear. Lessons from Holy Scripture this morning teach us about our God. He is not some kind of distant God. The men at Babel thought so. He is not mocked by mankind's sin. All of the efforts of mankind will fall short to do what God alone can do. That our God is ever involved in history, and so is involved in the present and will certainly be involved in the future. That he sets the wicked on their confused and tumultuous way. But he brings peace to his own and sustains them in the midst of every single trial. He gathers people to hear the word which brings comfort, holy consolation, as we prayed. He forgives sin. He gives his Spirit just as he said, and the Spirit works through the Word to make more Christians, giving faith and love just as Jesus promised. So as the devil today attacks truth, the Spirit today reminds you that Jesus is the truth and his Word is truth. That the one who keeps the Word, the one who believes the Word, has the love of the Father. The devil attacks property and contentment. The Spirit reminds us of how fleeting these temporal things are and gives us contentment with what God gives. The devil attacks life and all of its pursuits, and the Spirit then gives life, a life that the devil has no claim over, eternal life. As you continue to see the faithfulness of Jesus about the signs of the end, the last days, increased violence and plagues and famines and disasters, idols of mankind being unmasked as the fleeting vapors that they are, being cast down, destroyed, the Spirit makes our legs strong to stand and our heads able to look up and see that the day of our redemption is drawing near. Comforter, helper, counselor, the Spirit has been given. There is more than enough reason to rejoice and to fill this day with jubilee. That by the Spirit we have the Father's love, and by the Spirit we love the Father. In turmoil and uncertainty, you have peace with God and certainty of heaven by the forgiveness of your sins. You are not slaves to fear, for the Spirit of our God has made you free. In perfect love, driving away the fears from you by the words and promises of our Lord Jesus Christ, for your eternity is with him. For all the sin in your life, there is the sacrifice of Christ, the full forgiveness of that sin. Peace with God is yours by him who is your peace. For the temptations of this temporal and temporary life that want you to forget God, there you have the Spirit of our God to remind you and to call you to remember all that God has promised to you in Christ. At this day, rejoice, for God has come and made his home with you. And where God is, what can those other things do to you? Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Please rise. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We join in singing the offertory.